Verses 5 and 6. This is probably, for somebody here tonight, a memory verse or two verses. And we're going to talk about knowing God's will or a recipe for success, because they are one and the same. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so we're talking about knowing God's will tonight, or a formula for success. Somebody has said that our age that we're living in is an age of guided missiles and misguided men. And we have been described as clever creatures who have lost our way in the dark. And I just want to say again that a successful person is one who finds the will of God for his life and does it. It's not necessarily having anything to do with making a lot of money or seeing your name lit up in neon lights somewhere, but it's finding God's will for your life, whatever it may be, and doing that wholeheartedly. And so I'm going to talk about this tonight, and I want to say that God has a will for everybody in this room. God has a specific will for everybody in this room. And so I want to talk about some reasons for doing God's will. I want to talk about some requirements for doing God's will. And then I want to talk about some resources for doing God's will. And we're going to do all this in the next 2.5 hours. So settle in and we're going to go through this. Let me give you tonight some reasons for knowing and doing the will of God in your life. And I've already hinted at the first thing. Number one, you ought to want to know God's will because God does have a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life, and it would be a tragedy of tragedies if we were to miss God's plan, because God's plan is always best, and it's always the way that will make us the happiest, to give us most fulfillment in life. And so we ought to want to do that because God does have a plan. There's an old gospel tract some of us might remember called The Four Spiritual Laws. And I think the number one thing, the very first thing that the Four Spiritual Laws says is God loves you and He has a wonderful plan for your life. And that is so very true. God does love you and have a wonderful plan for your life, and it would be ashamed for you not to get in on that. Now, you might say, well, how wonderful that God had a plan for your life, Mike Bearden, and He called you to preach. Well, I'm not even better than you are. God's got a plan for your life too. Maybe not preaching and maybe doing something else. But God has a plan for our lives. And it's really amazing to think about it. Why should God be interested in us? I mean, you think about, here we are on this little planet Earth, a fleck of spray in an ocean of existence. And why should God, you know, why should He even know about us? Why should He even recognize us? Why should He even acknowledge us? And so God does acknowledge us. The Bible says that He loves us. We are an incident, not an accident in the world. God has a specific plan. And so one reason for seeking God's will for your life is because He has a wonderful plan for your life. But then number two, God has made some promises. God has promised to guide us. Over there in Psalms chapter 32 and verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that you shall go, and I will guide thee with mine eye, God says. And then another promise, God says, is when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you. You see, you're not supposed to live this life without guidance. As a child of God, God has given something to you to guide you. You know, animals have instincts. A spider can spin a web. This time of year, when I'm getting out scouting for deer hunting, I'm constantly running into spider webs because this is the time of year they do that. Salmon can find their way back to the spawning grounds. Iris and I were in Vermont this past, the past week. And up there in Stockbridge, Vermont, we were looking at a garden, and something I hadn't seen in a while were all these monarch butterflies. They're in the process of migrating from up in Canada all the way down to Mexico and Central America. They have these instincts. Well, you and I don't have instincts, and we don't need them because God has given us something better. And that's the Holy Spirit to guide us along the way. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you. So we have the Holy Spirit. And you're to know God's will because He has a plan for your life, and you're to do that plan. And you don't have to be like a ship floundering around out in the ocean without a rudder. Somebody has described life in these terms. Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. But that's not true if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. So you ought to want to know God's will because the promises that He has made. But then number three, there's God's presence. You see, when you're in the will of God, that's when you're in the presence of God. You ever thought about the Great Commission? Jesus said, "Go ye therefore, make disciples, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And then notice He says, "And lo, I am with you." The lo depends upon the go. And go and make disciples, and lo, I am with you, He says. God is very close to us when we are walking in His way. You see, two people can't walk together unless they be agreed. And if you want the presence of God, then you have to be in the will of God to do His purpose and His plan. I heard about one woman who had backslidden from the Lord, and she was weeping at the funeral of a loved one, and she came up to her pastor and she said, "Preacher, why is it that God seems so very far away?" And he said, "Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's not God who is far away from you, it's you who's far away from God." I heard about a man and a woman riding along. He was driving the car. The wife was sitting on the other side of the car, and she looked over at him and she said, "Sweetheart, remember how we used to sit close together when we first married?" And he said, "I didn't move." Well, she had moved, see. And that's the way we are, see. Sometimes we'll know God's presence when we're close to Him. We'll know His plan when we're close to Him. God has a promise He will guide us. He has His presence that He will guide us. And then number four, there's God's power. When you know God's presence, then you're going to know God's power in your life. And because the place of His plan and the place of His presence is the place of His power. Now, I don't know about you, but I need God's power in my life. I mean, this world in which we live today, things that we face, I mean, we just need God's power. We need to know God's will and God's power. You say, "Well, why is it that I don't have any supernatural power in my life? Why don't I see miracles in my life? Why is my prayer life not being answered?" Well, it may be that you're not in God's plan, and you should be in His plan to know His power. You see, the place of God's presence is the place of His power. Wherever God is, He's going to supply His power. What did Jesus say? He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples, and lo, I am with you." And so we need to know God's power in our lives. And then number five, God's protection. Let me ask you a question. Where is the safest place in the world for you to be? You might say, "Well, it would be in my home, in my house where the door's locked, the windows pulled down. And that's probably the best place for me as long as I've got my AR-15 and my 40 millimeter or whatever, you know. That's the safest place for me." No, that's the wrong answer. The safest place on earth for you to be is in the center of God's will. Now, I think I've said this before, but I really do mean this. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to go out here and walk out in front of one of these 18-wheelers. But I really believe in my heart that as long as I'm in the will of God and I'm accomplishing the purpose God has for me at this time, nothing's going to hurt me. I mean, I'm indestructible. As long as I'm walking in His will, same thing you are. You're safe in the will of God than you are in any place else on earth, because you see, the place of God's plan is the place of God's presence. And the place of God's presence is the place of His power, and the place of His power is the place of His protection. And then number six, there is God's provision. I want to be in the will of God because if I'm in the will of God, God's going to provide for me. I know some senior adults who live on a fixed income. I may be speaking to some here tonight, but I know some. I wonder how they get by sometimes. And they worry about, you know, not having enough money to get them through the month. But, you know, I do remember what the Bible says. You remember that God said to Elijah one time, He said, "You go to a certain widow woman, and I have instructed her to feed thee there." Not anywhere else. Now, if Elijah had gone anywhere else, he'd been up he'd been bad off. He wouldn't have gotten fed. But God said, "You go there, and I have instructed her to feed thee there." There was one place where God would provide for him. And that's in the center of God's will. And so the place of God's presence, the place of His protection and power, is also the place of His provision. You see, ladies and gentlemen, anything God orders for your life, He's going to pay for. Now think about that. I mean, don't tell me God is out of business. And don't tell me that God is broke. God's work has never stopped for lack of resources. With God, there's no recession, no depression in heaven. I mean, you know, His will might be stopped because somebody's not being obedient, or they don't have enough faith, or they lack sacrifice. But God's work has never stopped because of lack of resources. Don't ever say, "Boy, if we just had the money, what could we do?" I remember some times in our church at Fountain Inn, and we needed to build. And we didn't have the money to build. We needed to spend about $2.5 million. We didn't have $2.5 million in the bank. But we believed with all of our heart God was leading us to build a particular building. And we launched out on faith, and we paid that thing off just in a few years. I mean, God provided the resources, and our people started to give. And it was surprising how they gave. And we just paid that thing off, see. God's never out of business. I mean, He never lacks resources. And if I want to get in on God's will for my life, that means He's going to provide for me. I've known some young men who wanted to go in the ministry because they felt like God was leading them to, but they said, "I can't afford to go to college." And so some of us told them, "Listen, you can't afford not to go. You need to go." "Well, I can't afford it." "Don't you worry about that part. God will take care of that. If God's really called you, He's going to pay the bill." And God did, see. So there's God's provision. And then number 7 is God's peace. I want God's peace in my life, and the only way I'm going to find it is walking in the very center of His will. But now let's move on a little bit. Those are some reasons for knowing the will of God. Let me give you some requirements for knowing the will of God. Let's say you're facing some kind of decision. Maybe it's a big decision or a little decision. I want to give you a checklist, some things you can check off, some things you can ask yourself to see if you have the requirements of knowing God's will. For example, if you're seeking the will of God, you need to ask yourself 3 questions. Number 1, have I confessed every sin in my life? Now, God, I want you to show me your will, but have I confessed every sin in my life? Is my heart perfectly clear with God? Because you see, sin in your heart will cloud your heart and your mind. Sin cannot be dealt with by God except to save you from your sins and through the blood of Jesus. Sin in your heart clouds your heart and mind. You can't hear God speak. And in fact, God won't speak if you have sin in your life. Ezekiel 14:3, God spoke of some men, and God said, "These men have set up idols in their heart. Should I be inquired of at all by them?" I mean, you say, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, as long as they had idols in their heart, what right did they have to expect God to speak to them or to show them His will? I mean, God's not going to do that if you've got sin in your heart. God's not going to do that at all. I mean, if you want God to guide you, make absolutely sure that your sins have been confessed up to date. And let me tell you this, God doesn't grade on the curve. You know what I mean when I say that? When I was in school and teachers gave us a test and we didn't do too good, we sure did hope that she'd grade on the curve because we probably thought we'd come out a whole lot better. God doesn't grade on the curve. Don't say, "Well, I'm better than somebody else. I'm better than most of these people here." Well, that ain't got anything to do with it. God does not grade on the curve. You know, you want the will of God in your life, you've got to confess your sins up to date. The Bible says, Psalm 66:16, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So you need to have your heart right. You need to confess your sins. Ask yourself, "Have I confessed every sin?" Then secondly, ask yourself, "Have you surrendered every area of your life to the Lord?" Now, the Lord, I want to know your will. Lord, show me your will. And somebody says, "Lord, show me your will, and I'll let you know if I'm going to do it." If you approach God like that, He's not going to show you a thing. And that's the way we do sometimes. We come to God and we say, "Well, God, show me your will, and then I'll think about it, and if it suits me, then I'll do it." No, you come to God with a blank sheet of paper, and you say, "Here it is, Lord, my name is signed at the bottom," and you just fill it in. Let me ask you a question. Have you made a full surrender of every area of your life to the Lord? Have you ever thought about that passage in our text? Proverbs 3:6, what does it say? In some of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Is that what it said? Hello, anybody out there? It says what? In all thy ways. All thy ways. If you want God's guidance in your life, you got to acknowledge Him in all of your life. You know what we do in church? We compartmentalize God. Well, you can't say, now, I want guidance over here, Lord, but I'm going to keep this other part over here in my life to myself. What does the Bible say? In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I mean, if you want God's guidance in your church life, you have to acknowledge Him in your business life. And if you want Him in your business life, you have to acknowledge Him in your home life. And if you want Him in your home life, you've got to acknowledge Him in your social life. In everything, acknowledge Him, is what it says. I mean, there's not only not to be any sin in your life, but there's not to be any stubbornness. Uh-oh. I know a lot of stubborn Christians. One of the hallmark descriptive terms I would say for Baptists is that a lot of them are stubborn. There's to be no stubbornness, no unyieldedness in your life if you're going to know the will of God. I mean, there are a lot of people who are really not sincere when they pray for God's will. I heard about this kind of a bum, kind of a vagabond, you know, he just semi-bum who went all around from town to town, and somebody said to him one time, they said, how do you decide where to go? And he said, well, I tell you, I just have a way of ambling through the country. And he said, when I come to the fork in the road and I don't know whether to go to the left and the right, I just have a stick with me, I throw it up in the air, and whichever way the stick lands, that's the way I go. And then he said, but I do have to confess that sometimes I have to throw it up as many as 6 times to get it fall right. So, you know, that's kind of the way we do. Some people just pretend they are obeying God, but what they do is they just keep on praying until they talk themselves into doing what they want to do anyway. They go to God and they say, now, God, can I do so and so? No. And then they come back to God again and they say, God, can I do so and so? No. They come back a little later, God, can I do so and so? And finally, they think they hear Him, but they just keep throwing that stick up until it lands right. That's what we're talking about. They're just being stubborn. I mean, they're just being willful. They've never really yielded to the Lord. And rather than letting God speak to them, they just come to God, try to bend His will to God, to theirs. See, that's what we do sometimes in prayer. We come to God and we're trying to bend His will to what we already want to do in our hearts. And rather than saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, they say, listen, Lord, for thy servant speaketh. And they tell Him all these things they want Him to do. Listen, friend, you've got to be yielded. You've got to be yielded. Bible says, don't be as the horse or the mule that has to be held back by a bridle. Be as one that God can guide with His eye. See, you want to know God's will for your life? First of all, ask the question, have I confessed every sin to God? Secondly, ask the question, have I confessed every sin to God and have I acknowledged Him? And number two, am I fully surrendered to Him? And then number three, ask yourself, am I really listening to God? Am I giving Him a chance to speak to me? You know, it may be that God is speaking to you and you're just not hearing it. Sometimes in the church, you know, we study the life of Jonah, and God called Jonah to go and preach and do what God wanted to do, and he ran in the opposite direction. He was willful. And so here in the church, you know, we kind of get down on Jonah, but for most of us, we've not gotten to the place where old Jonah finally came to. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. That is, he could still hear God speak. You ever try to listen to God? You ever do that? Do you have a quiet time of devotional each day? Do you have a time when you get away and you just let God speak to you? Well, if you're too busy to do that, then you're just too busy. Don't ever tell me that you don't have enough time to be alone with God. That's the height of arrogance and presumption. I mean, are you listening to God? When you come to God and you pray, are you listening to God? Are you giving Him a chance to speak to your heart and to your life? I mean, you've got to get away to do that. Turn off the television, the radio, the internet. Set these stinking things, and I don't have mine on me, these phones. Put them aside. Cut them off. Have you ever noticed I mean, just notice how many people are going along like this. I told you a few weeks ago, if there's anything to evolution, 10,000 years from now, man's not going to have two eyes, but he's going to have one big eye right here in the middle. You know, looking at that stinking phone. These are something of the requirements for knowing the will of God. Have I confessed all the sin in my life? Am I surrendered to the will of God? Am I really listening to what God has to say? Well, all right, preacher. You've told me about the reasons I ought to know the will of God, and you've shown me some requirements for it. But how can I really know the will of God? What are some resources that God has given us to find out His will? I'm glad you asked. Let me give you five of them. Number one, God will show you His will by that book I hope you've got laying in your lap called the Bible. God's Word. The Bible says, Psalms 119:105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. You see, sometimes God's will is so very obvious. The Bible says this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does that mean? He wants you to grow in your faith. You don't have to pray about that. He automatically wants that. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. You don't have to worry about that. God's already said He wants everybody saved if they come trust Christ. And on and on and on, the Bible tells us very clearly God's will. You don't have to keep praying about it. You don't have to keep throwing that stick up into the air to see how it's going to land. When God says something, friend, He's not going to change it no matter how you pray for it. Here's some silly little girl and she falls in love with some unsaved boy. And she says, God, can I marry him? And God's Word says, be not unequally yoked to unbelievers. And she says, well, Lord, he's so sweet. Or, Lord, I can change him. Let me tell you what. God's not going to change His Word. He's already said it. You can beg Him all you want to. He's not going to change His mind. He's already said it. He's made it very plain. Let me tell you what. You're not a special case. When I say you, I'm talking about us collectively. You know, sometimes we get to thinking, I'm very special. No, you're not special. God's not going to change His Word for anybody. I mean, you're not a special case. There's no need to pray for guidance for something that is contrary to the will of God. I mean, there's no need to pray about something that is commanded in Scripture that you ought to do. You don't have to pray and ask God to be, if He wants you to be a soul winner, you don't have to pray that prayer. He's already told you. Yes, He does. He wants you to be a soul winner. And you don't have to pray and ask God if He wants you to live right. He's already told you in the Bible. There's no debate that. He's not going to change that. God already said in His Word, He wants you to live right, and no amount of praying is going to change it. If God has already clearly said it in His Word, no amount of praying is going to change it. So you better get into the Bible if you're going to know the will of God. But there are some things that the Bible does not speak specifically about. But it does give principles along the way to help you. But there are other things besides the Word of God to help you. There's the witness of God. What is the witness of God, Preacher Mike? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you and to lead you. Not only do you have the objective Word of God, you've got the inward subjective voice of the Holy Spirit, and I want to make this clear. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is not your conscience. We're not talking about conscience, okay? It's something different. Conscience cannot tell you which are the right things you ought to do. Conscience may tell you the difference between right and wrong if it's led by the Holy Spirit, but even conscience can't tell you which are the right things you ought to do. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You say, well, how does that work? The Holy Spirit just leads you. He just gives you the impressions. You get the feeling. You know when He's speaking. He'll let you know you've got the Word of God, you've got the witness of God to help you, and then number three, you've got God's wisdom. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him, only let him ask in faith. Now here's a question for you to contemplate, you philosophers. What is wisdom? You know, go out there and take off your shirt and contemplate your navel and ask yourself, what is wisdom? You know, what is wisdom? Let me tell you, wisdom is not common sense. Somebody says wisdom is common sense. No, it's not. It is uncommon sense. See the difference? Wisdom, it's using your mind. Never be afraid to use your mind. Well, that eliminated about half of us in here, didn't it? We don't have a mind. But anyway, we all have a mind. Yes, we do. We have a mind. Don't be afraid to use your mind. Remember Romans 12, 2. Present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does God transform your mind? Well, He renews your mind. And then the Bible says, let not the man think more of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Now, what is God telling us? God is telling us to use your mind. Use your brain. Use your head. He tells you to take a renewed mind and think with it. Don't think that you're not to use your mind in trying to know the will of God. You've got God's Word telling you something. You've got God's witness on the inside telling you something. So think about it. Meditate on it. God gave you a mind. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What is wisdom? It is sanctified judgment. Don't be afraid to use your mind. Think about what you're doing and what you're contemplating, and God will give you wisdom. Pray for wisdom. He'll give it to you. Well, Preacher Mike, how am I going to know the will of God? Well, you've got God's Word. You've got God's witness, the Holy Spirit. And you've got God's wisdom. And then number four, and this is a good one, you've got God's workers. Now, what do I mean by that? Proverbs 12, 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. God has placed around every one of us some people who have godly wisdom. Find out who they are. And you're contemplating doing something, you need to know the will of God. Sit down with somebody that you know has God's ear and they're living for Jesus and they have a little wisdom, and tell them, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What you think about it? Think about it. God puts counselors around us. I remember when I was, they were having the examining presbytery for me to be ordained. In other words, they were checking my fitness to see if I was right to be ordained to the ministry. And so they had all, I was just a 19-year-old kid, and they had all these older ministers in the room with me, and they were, you know, asking me all these questions, one thing and another. And one of the older ministers said, now, well, Mike, we hear what you're saying, but suppose in a minute we adjourn and we confer with one another as to your fitness to be a minister. What if we come back and we tell you that we don't think it's right? What would you say? Well, with all of my braggadocio, I said, well, I guess I just have to preach anyway. And they liked that answer. You know what? Wrong answer. That's a wrong answer. That's not a right answer. Listen, if I've got 20 older ministers out there and they have examined me and they see something in me that makes them hesitate to ordain me, what I need to say to them is, well, gentlemen, can you tell me why? I need to understand what they're thinking. I need their counsel in my life, see. And we're all like that. Don't you get so sure that you know more of what is right and wrong than those godly people God has set around you. And one of the finest ways to know the will of God is to hearken unto counsel. Listen to God's workers that He's given to you. And God will give you some godly counselors to guide you. So be very careful before you spurn that advice, God's workers, see. And then number five, how am I going to know the will of God? Well, you got the Word of God. You got the witness of God. You got the wisdom of God. You got the workers of God. Number five, you have the works of God. Now let me tell you how this is going to work out. You're going to find out sometimes that a lot of times God was guiding you when you didn't even know it. Boy, I've had that happen to me a lot. I'd struggle with something, didn't know what to do, and went through all of this and I was still unsure. And I had to make a decision, and I made it, and I wasn't sure if it's the right one until years later. I looked back and I said, God, You did that. See? God's works. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I mean, we call this the providence of God. And sometimes you take what you thought was the wrong road, and it can turn out to be the right road. Sometimes you thought you made a wrong decision, and it can be a right decision. Why? Because the providence of God intervened to guide you in that time. See, Preacher Mike, I got this thing on my mind, and I want to know the will of God about it. How can I know that? Consult God's Word, consult God's witness, consult God's wisdom, consult God's workers, and consult God's works. And when you're in the will of God, and you're walking in the will of God, that's the happiest that you'll ever be, and that's the most successful that you'll ever be. And we all need that. Not to be a success, not to be happy, we just need it for our lives. We need to know the will of God. And all God's people said? No, God's people said, let's go eat. That's what we're supposed to do. All right, stand up. We'll have our closing prayer and be on our way. Looking forward to Sunday. Please pray about that day. That's going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to that. Monty, lead us.